Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles. Amen. Go to Luke chapter. Amen. Chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We had several birthdays this week in our congregation, and I'm not going to point out just exactly all of them, but we had one young child turn 1 and one young child turn 91. I tell you what, that's a pretty diverse crowd, isn't it? And age. And I was talking with someone about the church. They don't go to the church, and they were just saying how healthy our church is and how we have so many different age groups represented and how healthy they are. And I want to say that we are blessed. And we're going to continue to promote that. Every age group, it has a purpose and a plan. And God's going to use you to build the kingdom of God from our young kids choir all the way to our senior saints. Praise the Lord. I'm enriched by all the people that serve the Lord. And God's got fruit for you to bear. Luke chapter 7, verse number 11. I've got a lengthy text this morning, but we're going to just look at the first half and then maybe get to the second half at the end if we get time. It says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. There came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and all throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour, Jesus, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. I want to look at that first part of the scriptures there, verses 11 through 17, and talk to you about that story. We're continuing with our series of more, and the title this morning is Dead But Not Buried. Dead But Not Buried. Now, through this series, we've looked at the theme for our year, noting that God has more for us than we realize. He wants to bless us more. He wants to bless through us more. He wants to give us more. He wants to use us more in a powerful way in the kingdom of God. It's not a theme that we have that's founded on a name it and claim it prosperity doctrine or gospel. Rather, I believe that is scriptural. Praise God. God has more in store. As he said, he could do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even able to think or dream up. So I've challenged us in the congregation and those online, as the missionary stated, to expect great things from God, but also to attempt great things for God. We want to expect more, but we want to do more. the message that I've been harping on is that God doesn't want us to settle for less than the best that He has for us. He doesn't want us to live in shame or live in defeat. Jesus wants us to live in victory. He does. He doesn't want us to be downcast, but He wants us to be uplifted. He doesn't want us to live in upheaval or chaos. He wants us to live in peace. Praise God. A few weeks ago, we talked about setting the new man free, the story of Lazarus, not keeping ourselves tangled up in the grave clothes of our past or things that may have taken place in our life. God has called us to new life. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And as I was preparing and praying about this sermon, I just felt an intense burden for those who might be struggling today through what many would deem as a hopeless situation. Maybe you've been battling the same thing in your mind for a long time. Maybe it's been a sickness in your body. Maybe it's fear, anxiety, doubt, depression, regret, or any host, a number of things that you've been struggling with for months on end. How many of you know just because revival took place, the devil didn't stop fighting God's people? The enemy still is trying to destroy and defeat and discourage. So you came in here battling and fighting and maybe feel hopeless even yet about certain situations, physically sick or disease. You're worn out from fighting that battle. Maybe you've been seeking direction on a decision and you haven't felt God nudge you in a certain way and nothing seems to be coming forward by way of answers. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning. You've got a dream or a vision for your life, for your family, for your own personal individual. Maybe you have a dream or a vision for yourself. Yet it seems like that's a broken dream and a broken heart, and you've hit roadblock after roadblock, and there's no hope. You know your motive is right, but it just seems like that dream is dead and your hope is gone. Church, I want you to know we serve a God who wants to breathe some life into your hope this morning. Your hope, your dreams, your faith, they may seem dead today, but it's not buried. Can I hear an amen? It might seem dead. You might have been walking in here this morning on the last leg of your faith thinking it's just going to die and this is going to be the end of it, the situation. But church, it might be dead, but it's not in the grave yet. Hallelujah. God is not done, and God can lift and resurrect things in your life. The text that we looked at this morning is evidence of the fact that God can do things when it seems like we're at the end of our story. That can be just the beginning because Jesus gets involved. What seems like a conclusion here in this story can become the scene for the greatest climax. Praise God. And God is still writing your story. He's still going to get glory from your life. I believe that with all my heart. Sometimes God can bring a miracle in the 11th hour or at 11:59 or even when the clock strikes midnight. Hallelujah. This miracle was about the 10th or 11th in the miracles that are recorded of Christ, and we know He probably did more because the Bible tells us the world couldn't contain the volumes of books that could be written of all the acts that Jesus had done. But let me rehearse what Jesus had done in the Gospels up to this point that we know of. He made water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He had preached the Sermon on the Mount. He'd been rejected by his hometown. He called several of his disciples to follow him. He had caused that great catch of Peter on the other side of the boat. Remember that story? He went to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. He delivered a man that was demon-possessed. He healed a person with leprosy. He healed that man that was let down from the roof by his four friends, the paralytic man. He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. He had healed the man with the withered hand, and he'd healed the centurion's son. And even after that event took place, Jesus is walking through the city of Nain, coming to the the city of Nain. He's already just healed that centurion's son. He walks up to the gates of Nain and he sees a funeral procession moving through the town. He's near the gate of that city whose name means beauty or pleasantness. Nain was a place of lovely views and beautiful pastures. But today in the life of this widow, it was a place of darkness and death. Her son had recently passed away, and the funeral procession is going out of that beautiful city, out of the gate, into the final resting place of her deceased son. But I want you to notice, Jesus was paying attention. And we got to take a moment here to notice the providence of God. How many of you know his providence is more than just mere coincidence? Jesus didn't just happen to be passing by that way. God had orchestrated these events to happen in such a time when Jesus would definitely see this woman who was weeping because she had just lost her son. God's ways are much higher than our ways. God knows what we need when we need it. He sees things that we do not see. He understood. Even we go back just as recently as revival. He knew Brother Lester couldn't come, so he began to place on the hearts of five different preachers what to preach to our church, a timely word that came from heaven. See, there's no such thing as mere coincidence when it comes to the providence of our loving Savior. And he reached down in the middle of this procession of that funeral, not by happenstance, but by divine appointment. Amen. I got a few points I want you to notice here. The hopeless cry. The hopeless cry. The woman, the one whose son lay dead on that bier, was a widow, and she was weeping. Why was she weeping? Weeping's a natural response to death of a loved one. Even if you're not a crier, there are times when the loved one passes away that a tear escapes your eyes. You cry at certain situations. Weeping is a part of grief, especially though when a child precedes the parents in death. The parents would no doubt would be stricken with intense grief, and such was the case of this widow woman. But it was more than that. See, this woman had already endured the bitterness of death when she lost her husband. But even in the death of her husband, she still had hope and light in her life. Her son could provide for her. See, in that culture, you know probably better than most that son would be the one that would take her under his wing and secure her, secure the home, provide for her, make sure she's taken care of for the rest of the years of her life. So in that woman's life, even though she had been widowed, all hope was not completely lost in the death of her husband. But now that hope was gone. Her only son, who was lawfully the one to take care of her, was gone. Now the weight of that situation is heavy enough, but it would be compounded by the grief. The questions of her future abounded. How am I going to make it without my son? How am I going to survive without somebody to provide? Maybe those thoughts weren't at the forefront of her mind in this moment, but I can guarantee you they were present somewhere in the back of her mind at the very least. And besides that, listen, this woman, because her husband died and now her son had died, she would be considered in that culture not as one that brought life into the world, but one who brought death into the world. Even though her son was a young man, the stigma of a son dying in a sense prematurely would cause a demoralizing and paralyzing hopelessness. And so she wept a hopeless cry. How many of you have cried what you thought was a hopeless cry? You shake it off, you go about your day, but that question still haunts you. When you lay your head down at night, you wonder, am I going to make it through this? Is this all my life is supposed to be? Battle after battle, struggle after struggle. I thought I prayed it through before, but the burden came back again. I made it through this sickness before, but here I am facing it again. What am I going to do if this doesn't work out? Is God even fighting for me? These are cries of hopelessness at times in our lives, but I need to remind you again, Jesus is paying attention. Praise God. So here she was with that hopeless cry, but I want you to notice the holy compassion. When Jesus saw her, he looked on her with compassion. The King James Version, that's what it says. It says he had compassion on her, but King James and his interpreters didn't quite do the word justice. Other translations say he felt great compassion, or he was moved with compassion, or his heart went out to her with compassion, or he overflowed with compassion. See there, Jesus looked on her and he didn't just think, well, that's pretty sad to see a woman cry. No, his heart was moved on her behalf. He wanted to reach out and help her in her hopelessness. He was paying attention more than just a sympathetic thought. He wanted to move in her situation. It was an emotional response that moved Jesus to action. Praise God. You know, Jesus had been to a funeral before. Up to this point, we believe and we can trust that his father Joseph had died. He knew what it was like to bury a loved one. He knew what it was like to go through a funeral procession and watch the dead man put in the tomb or maybe lowered into the grave. He knew what it was about. And he walked through that procession without action. But this time, his heart was stirred by the situation. He was moved. And when his heart is moved, he moves. Praise God. I call this holy compassion. Holiness is who he is. His most innate attribute is to be holy. Everything he does is holy. And this compassion comes out of that holiness. What is it? What is holiness? Jesus always does right. Praise God. And his heart was moved at the hopeless cry of a widowed mother whose son has just died. And he speaks to her. Notice, she didn't speak to him, but in her tears, he knew she was crying out. So he goes to her and he says, "Weep not." Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, "Weep not." Sermon's almost over. Tell him, "Weep not. It's almost over." Notice here, the woman did not ask for Jesus' help. She may not have recognized who he was. She may have been preoccupied with the events surrounding her son, and she didn't know Jesus was even near to her town. Maybe she hadn't heard about the nobleman's son and the centurion's son and the one with the withered hand. Maybe she had never heard about that paralytic man that had been let down in neighboring towns over. Maybe because she was preoccupied with the sickness of this loved one, she hadn't been outside and heard that there was a great prophet that was coming to her town. But even without her asking, Jesus stepped into the situation because her cry moved his heart. Church, God has seen your tears. He understands your pain like no other, and he is here to heal your heart this morning. Point number three, the healing contact. Following these words to the woman, "Weep not," Jesus, this great teacher that people have attributed great authority to, that's all they knew him as. They didn't know he was the Messiah or the Savior up to this point. But they see him watch as he reaches out and he touches that bier or that casket. He touches and reaches out. Now, other priests and other rabbis, they wouldn't have done that. That would have polluted them. They were above that. We cannot be unclean. The law said if we touch anything dead, we're unclean for 7 days, and we don't want that on us. We don't want that involved in our heart and life. So, lo, let it pass on. But Jesus felt the need of the moment, and he reached down and he touched. Hallelujah. Church, Jesus is not afraid to reach into the pit of your sin. Can I hear an amen? He's not afraid to get his hands messy and healing and dealing with your heart and your life. He's not afraid of even if your broken heart may wound his hands. Hallelujah. He's not afraid of that. All he's concerned with is making sure he heals you with his touch. Seeing then, we read in Hebrews 4 that we have a great high priest. He's not like the other high priests. He's not like the other rabbis, but he is Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our profession, for we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That scripture there is a promise pointing us to a Father, amen, who is able to reach down even in the midst of hopeless death and touch our hearts and bring healing to our souls. Jesus was not afraid to touch what was dead. He knew the power that worked within him. I wonder what everyone was thinking when this happened. Were they shocked? Were they excited? Were they puzzled? What is he doing? What's he trying to do here? Don't he see we've already hired the mourners? They're already putting on a show. The grave diggers have already dug the grave. They've already hewed out the hole. They're prepared to push the stone over. They've got everything ready. We're on a time schedule. We got another few funeral later on. Why is he stopping us in this moment? Well, church, the ones following Jesus had seen the miracles he had done up to this point, but he had not done anything of this magnitude. He had touched people and healed them, yes, but he hadn't raised anybody from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this touch was one of healing. It's pretty symbolic and amazing here how things can die in our life. You ever had anything die in your life? I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about just, you know, dreams and hopes. You know what I'm talking about? Relationships, friendships, love. You know, people took your heart and broke it and it felt like something just died inside of you. And your hope may be dead this morning. You might feel dead, but you're not beyond the reach of God's repairing hand and healing touch. This young man was dead, and church, Jesus touched death. Oh, praise God. And this is what he did. He spoke to that man, and he said, "Young man, arise. Young man, arise." Resurrection power before Jesus had been resurrected? You bet. Amen. He was able to speak resurrection into the life of that dead boy. I worked at a funeral home the last couple of years that we lived in Texas. I handled a lot of dead bodies. I picked up a few dead bodies from their homes wherever they died. We picked up some that were at trailer parks and fields and different things. I've worked dozens of funerals. I've handled dozens of dead bodies, and none of them have ever come back to life. There was a couple that actually made noises, and that'll scare you a little bit. I remember picking up a little girl. She was 19 years old. I call her little because her body had been ravaged with disease, and I picked her up. I was carrying her to another funeral home, and I heard her, and I thought, oh my, praise God. Here we go. Praise the Lord. But they made noises, but none of them came back to life. But when Jesus spoke, glory to God, in an instant that young man came back to life. You've got to understand all that happened when he spoke those words. It's pretty amazing. See, you and I take things for granted because we just live and we move and we breathe without even giving it a second thought. But I was speaking with Brother Akers when he was here recently, and he talked about how he had a sickness that caused him a lot of nausea and vertigo and dizziness. And what he discovered was that illness had messed with some nerves that went up through his face and into his ears. Those nerves were damaged and would never be repaired, he said. But somebody he knew heard about his situation and said, "Hey, I found a doctor nearby who was able to train those nerves again." And he began to tell us how you can actually train your nerves and train your brain to operate in a way where that vertigo and that dizziness will subside eventually altogether. But still yet, even that therapy took time. But church, as soon as Jesus spoke to that young man, "Arise," listen, this young man's auditory nerves started firing. And come on now, he could hear. He was dead. You can't hear anything when you're dead. But when Jesus said, "Arise," his ears began to hear, and a message was sent to his brain, and his brain sent a message to his heart, and his heart started pumping again, and blood started flowing again. Those cells started moving again. His kidneys started functioning again. His muscles got strength again. His joints could be moved. Amen. Praise God. His nervous system, his cardiovascular system, and all the other systems were awakened just by the voice that said, arise. His sight was restored. He could speak again. He could taste again. And all at the sound of a man, amen, who was able to create everything out of nothing. Oh, and when he spoke, arise to this dead man. Hallelujah. He created in him a new life. He spoke new life into this young man. Praise the Lord. What can he do with your situation? The young man was dead, but church, he was not buried. Hallelujah. God was not done with his story. Malachi, you going to help me this morning? I need three other guys to come help me this morning. Malachi here, I'm going to give you this. Owen, come help me. Praise the Lord. Ethan, you've been sick, so I'll give you the day off. Ethan Maggard, you come help me. Praise the Lord. I think he can handle a shovel. Can he handle a shovel, brother? Praise the Lord. Stephen, can he handle a shovel? Where you at? Oh, man. Let's see. We got to find a little guy. You want to help me? Come on, Tyrell. Here you go. You guys go down there. You're going to be my grave diggers. I want you to start digging a grave. Don't really dig into the carpet. Well, we're going to replace it. Go ahead. Amen. Not really. Don't do it. Don't do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So they're digging the grave. I know they probably put them in a tomb, but just for visualization, you know, when most of the funerals I worked, when you get to the cemetery, the grave's already dug. And it's already known that what we're going to do here in a minute is we're going to lower that casket. Some of them take longer. Some cultures, it took forever to get them to leave that cemetery so we could put them down in the grave and get on to the next one. But I don't mean that hard-hearted, just the way it was in the business. But in life, I want you to get this. That funeral was going on. They were walking out of the gate. Those grave diggers were already digging the grave, and that mama knew, this is the end of my story. My son is going to be lowered down, and I'm going to have to figure out the next steps of my life. There's no hope for me. But Jesus stops, amen, in the middle of that procession, glory to God. And he says, I know I'm rehearsing, but he says, no, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of your story. And I wonder how many times I know in my life there have been times when I've watched as my dreams and my hopes and my visions and maybe my calling, it seemed like it was over. It seemed like it was done. We were going to have to pivot and figure something else out. And there it was, a hole ready to just be cast into. The grave diggers had already been. Maybe there's some people this morning. We can just list these shovels out if we had the time. Maybe that shovel is your broken heart, your broken dream, sickness, shame, the fear, anxiety, the mind battles you battled with so much, depression, bondage to sin in your past. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And all the while, you're watching those things dig a hole, and the enemy saying, I'm going to put you in the grave. You're dead, and I'm going to bury you. But Jesus can come by, and he can say, hey, you know what? You've had enough time with the shovel. Come on. Amen. And he can take your shame and cast it away. Praise God. And he can take your doubt and fear and your past, and he can cast it away. And he can take all the sickness and disease and cast it away. Thank you, Tyrell. And he can take the broken relationship and the broken home, and he can say, that's not your identity anymore. You're not going to die in that grave, and cast it away. And you know what else he does? He kicks the dirt in, praise the Lord, and fills in the hole. So you might go by and see, well, that's where it used to be, but that's just a reminder of the healing and the victory that God has given you in your life. Dead but not buried. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. They may be digging a hole saying, this is the end. This is all it is. But you looking at it, say, no, God, there's a couple holes in my life where you came through and you filled them in. I thought that situation was the end, but you got me through that. I thought that situation was the end, but you got me through that. Maybe your life is full of a graveyard of holes you've already overcome. You're going to make it through this one, church. You're going to make it through this one.
You're dead but not buried. He can speak resurrection. Faith's on life support. Hope is all but gone. Sense of purpose seems lost, but it's not buried. Can I hear an amen? One lady said, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. Only people who have grown hopeless about them. And let me speak life into your heart right now in this moment. God wants to breathe hope and breathe life. And Jesus, when he looked into your heart this morning, he knew. Listen, I had this message prepared for several weeks ago. And God wanted me to wait till the day, praise God, because he knew you would be here. He knew where your situation would be. Maybe even coming out of revival, he knew you'd still be discouraged and feel defeated. But thank God, he's filling in that hole. He's filling in that grave, and you're going to walk out with new life and new hope and new victory this morning. Hallelujah. Music, come. Let's stand together. My final point, hope confirmed. Pastor, that's not for me. You don't know how bad it is. Well, let me tell you something. This is where I was going to go with that second part of that story. See, there was a man named John Baptist that was in prison. And I'll tell you what, he was in prison for doing right. And that anointing and that calling in his life, he was coming near an end. He would never get out of that prison in the physical. But it started to create a prison in his mind. And doubt began to creep in. And his hope seemed to be dead. But in one last effort, he said to two of his disciples and followers, he said, can you go to Jesus and ask him if he's the one? Here I am in the dark, damp prison. And I need to know, has it all been in vain? And when those two men got to Jesus and asked him that question, the Bible says he began to heal the lame, give sight to the blind, preach the gospel to the poor. And I believe he probably raised this widow's son before that question had been asked. Or maybe even after, actually, that's what I meant to say. Because he told him, after he got done doing all those works, he said, go tell John. Go tell John the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And whosoever is not offended in me, amen, is going to find blessing. Praise the Lord. See, that miracle wasn't just for that widow woman. That miracle was so John could know that God was who he said he was. That miracle, listen, your miracle, Brother Steve, your miracle is not just for you. It's for your wife. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your children. Amen. And it's not just for that, church. The miracles God has done in your life, it's not just so you can enjoy the blessing. I'm thankful for the miracles God's done in my family and in my home and in my life. But that miracle wasn't just my own. That miracle was so hope could be spread throughout the city, throughout the generation. Amen. Not just throughout one church, but a multitude of churches. So God, in all of his providence, his son, Jesus, raises this woman so more hope and more blessing and more glory, hallelujah, can reach out and touch more. And so listen, let me tell you this. Your hope and dream right now, I know there's some that you've got some things and you thought it's a hopeless situation. I'll just continue on without that. I'll just go ahead and move. Listen, God wants to help you in that moment right now. Hallelujah. So if you've got a hopeless situation, give it to God. Amen. Let him speak life again. Let him speak life again. Hallelujah. Because guess what? That's what he wants to do. He's going to keep us through it all. Can I hear an amen? And the greatest grave that Jesus overcame, amen, that grave of death, sin's last effort to destroy all of us. Jesus overcame it. And if you have just been buried by your shame and guilt of sins that you've yet to repent of, let me tell you, Jesus wants to give you a new life this morning, hallelujah, a resurrected life. It may be drug addiction. It could be a list of things. It could be anything that's trying to threaten your spiritual walk or threaten your physical walk. Let's give it to God and let healing come. Praise the Lord. But if you're lost this morning, you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, this message was also for you. You're not intended to live in a grave of sin. You're intended to go to higher ground. Let it happen today, God. Hallelujah. You need hope restored and revival in your life. Even after revival, the enemy's tried to bury you in a grave. You need that hope restored. I want you to come right now. Amen. Let's come and find hope this morning. There's something in your life that you just feel discouraged about. You feel it maybe even defeated in. And you know, you feel like the enemy's right on your heels, trying to threaten in your victory. Come this morning and let God speak life. Hallelujah. And take the shovel out of the enemy's hand. Amen. And give you victory. Hallelujah. In Jesus. Oh, victory. Hallelujah. Let's all come and find us a place to pray. Bring that situation to God. Let Him speak life. It may be dead, but it isn't buried. Hallelujah. He's going to breathe new life into hearts this morning.
Lord, we're asking You to move, 'cause You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. Raise my faith a little higher. Set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking You to move, 'cause You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. Let revival come. Father, I come, don't have much to offer, Holy One, I'm humbled by all that You've done. And even though I walk through the valley, I don't have to fear. You have called me from my sorrow to gladness. I have You. What more could I want? Raise my faith a little higher. Set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking You to move. 'Cause You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking You to move, 'cause You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. Raise my faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. Let revival come. Let revival come. God who calms the sea, the same God who healeth me. You are the one who makes me strong. And even though I walk through the valley, I don't have to fear, no. You have called me from my sorrow to gladness. I have you, what more could I want? Raise my faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move. You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. So raise my faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move, 'cause you're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. You are the God who calms the sea. You're the same God who heals me. You are the one who makes me strong. And even though I walk through the valley, I don't have to fear, no, 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 no. You have called me from my sorrow to gladness. I have you, what more could I want? Just raise my faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to you're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. Just raise my faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move. You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. So raise my faith a little higher, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move, 'cause you're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Oh, let revival come. Let revival come. Let revive.